The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 260. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
Not anymore, from what it sounds like.
He only does everything Colin Moriarty.
Only 40 episodes away from episode 300.
Book your tickets now. We're doing a destination wedding in Tahiti. We have to figure out what we're going to do. Start sending in your what should we do for episode 300? Obviously, another live event. We're going to get everybody back together.
We'll be in San Francisco, probably, and we'll do it here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, you're cutting me off. I'm saying, what do you think we should do, ladies and gentlemen? Email us at beyond@ign.com. Do you want to come back to the IGN lunchroom? Because it's one of those things we all want, you know. I think I've kicked around the idea before of doing the going somewhere and doing it or whatever in like a destination style thing. But I guess it's a big deal to the listener to actually come to IGN, right? Come and see the office, come and be in San Francisco, Eat at 21st or something.
Yeah, that's true. Except I also think that just seeing the community is a huge draw, especially if you are part of the community, and to see all those people face to face.
Podcast Beyond 200 was amazing. It was like a once in a lifetime thing until we do 300. I guess we'll never do episode 200 again. So that was once in a lifetime, but we can always see our friends again.
I will say that it would be kind of fun to do it at a different venue, though, because we've had so many community venues here at the office, and it would be neat. Now, and it would also, you know, take a little strain off of our, you know, support team here.
Sure.
So,
let us know, ladies and gentlemen, what your thoughts are. You got 40 weeks to figure it out, but email us soon, I guess, so we actually look through it and
do
it.
Prediction, it'll be in the IGN office in San Francisco, California.
Prediction, it will be. It'll be hosted by PlayStation Executive Editor Andrew Goldfarb. All of us will be gone. It'll be interesting to see what the next 40 weeks bring.
Podcast.
And it's a PC podcast. You got Ryan Clements giving you breakdowns on the best keyboards. If you want to come to Podcast Beyond 300, you got plenty of time to figure that out. If you want to see, though, a live Podcast Beyond, you get your shit together, because it's happening a week from Saturday, the 13th, right? Am I right? No, that's not right. That's not the date.
I forgot to
it's
hand the, you guys
it's the 13th.
Paper, is it 13th? Yeah. Oh, right, because I was getting confused.
My birthday is the 14th.
There you go. Happy birthday. October 13th, ladies and gentlemen, in New York City. The Javits Center.
New York.
As part of live, what do you call it? The New York Comic Cons. There'll be a live Podcast Beyond. It's called IGN's Free Shit Podcast Beyond. You go there, you get to see Podcast Beyond recorded in front of your eyes with the new cast, Colin Moriarty and Ryan Clements.
The new cast.
Well, I'm not there. We've been advertising it as a Greg Miller joint. I had to step out. Yeah, so now you guys get to go. Just fucking train wreck it up there.
I'm so
trying to
excited.
Draw a cube on my. I can't do it.
We'll take some photos. We'll put it in the article.
So, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut off your promotion. Please.
That was it. I'm promoting you. I'm promoting you. Everybody, go to New York Comic Con. Go see Podcast Beyond. That's an awful cue. Beat people up. Get their ticket. Get inside that Comic Con. You go see it. It's 9 p.m. Saturday the 13th.
9 p.m.
IGN's Free Shit Slash.
I love it. It's so late Podcast in the day.
Yeah. Bring some cognac and drink it up there.
Ooh.
Yeah. I did that for you. Are you excited? Are you ready? I'm glad to see I'm glad to see the Beyond tradition continues with the core cast there.
I'm extremely excited, and also
I can't do it.
I pretty much. So what are you trying to do exactly, buddy?
I'm trying to draw a cube.
A cube. You can't forget, draw a cube.
No.
Before I forget, give it to me, and I'll take a photo.
Is that what these are?
Yeah.
Those are like.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find this Colin's cube drawings in the Podcast Beyond article 260 over at ps3.ign.com or Vita.
And what I was just going to say is, obviously, any time that I get a chance to go back to the East Coast is very exciting. I'm not actually from New York City proper, but I am from New York State.
New York City!
and I am. I always just I love going back there, and I have an infatuation with New York City. I mean, just the it really is the closest. I feel like to me, and maybe just in our country, I can't speak on a global scale, but I feel like in our country, it's the closest to the sort of megapolypse. I'm trying to say metropolis, but in a cool sci-fi like
megalopolis. You
know, megalopolis. Zip.
That's what it's called.
Megalopolis. Yeah, like the a big metropolis, like kind of this huge. Hub of activity, culture, food, tech, people, music. I mean, it's got it all.
Having not traveled extensively outside of the country, I can guarantee you that New York City is the best city in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Having not traveled outside the country, but you have recently for Germany.
I did.
That's really cool.
And Germany didn't win the title.
Let's talk about something real fast. No. Yeah. This will be a very short tangent.
Okay.
All right. So people have jokingly suggested that I should not be called the PlayStation powerhouse anymore because my gaming tastes have changed so much recently.
Yeah.
But when it was suggested that I be called the PC powerhouse because it still has the alliteration, you said I'm not even that, and you laughed. So I want to know what.
Do
else.
We say that today?
No, this was a while ago, but we never had a chance to talk about it. So I want to know, should my name just for legacy sake...
Be Powerhouse? No.
Yo, what's up, Powerhouse?
I think it is. There it is.
All right, Powerhouse.
Welcome to Podcast Beyond episode 261. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Powerhouse.
Powerhouse Clements.
No, nah, just leave it. There's no the. There's no Ryan Clements. It's Powerhouse.
What's up, guys? I'm Powerhouse.
Sound like an 80s wrestler.
A touched 80s wrestler.
Yeah, touched, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, because like my knowledge of PC tech is certainly not nowhere near as close.
I forget why I insult you even on your PC stuff. I guess that was it more. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
Because like you're very in tune with the games you're playing at the moment, like Guild Wars and then the other PC stuff. Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Guild Wars.
Like,
that was my attempt to say it like Michelle Tanner, but it didn't work because it's woes.
I can't tell if you're trying to do like the Japanese accent.
No.
I will always have a
now
a
with
soft
platinum
spot
trophy support.
I will always have a soft spot for PlayStation, especially since that's kind of where after the N64, I completely broke off from Nintendo and pretty much went all Sony after that, as you guys all know.
Good choice.
But
well, GameCube was fun,
GameCube was great. But I've always tried to consider myself a little bit more of like multi-platform. Like I've been really into PC now because I really like it. It's convenient for me. It's probably the most powerful of the systems that I have available to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really enjoying it. That I don't want people to think that just because I'm really into PC recently doesn't mean like I don't think anything of console gaming or handheld gaming. I mean, I like at all. Any gaming is gaming. It just depends on where people's preferences are, what's easy for them, what suits their style.
When was the last time you played your Vita?
That's the same question.
Remember I played Gravity Rush when I went back to Buffalo like a month. Was it a month ago? I forgot if it was a month or two ago.
Time just threw your fingers.
It flew by.
What was the thing you always say about Clements with Gravity Rush?
Oh, you made a big deal about that. It was going to be the game that was.
Yeah,
this is the reason I'll buy a Vita, and then you didn't play it.
And I remember I had a Vita at launch, and then just didn't play Gravity Rush at all when it came out.
I hear you. It's no big deal. I was on the plane the other day, and I turned on the Vita, and it was just like. I turned it on out of like habit. I was just like, I went through. I started like the pinball for a second. I started some Little King story. Just like, nah, none of this is what I want to do. Just went and read on the iPad.
There are still some Vita games I'm super pumped for. I mean, Persona and...
I cannot fucking wait for Persona.
Really...
Persona is exactly what I'm looking for in the Vita. I want to get invested in something and just play it.
Little King story, man.
You said it gets better after the very beginning, but the very beginning just turned me off so much.
It's not a great game by any means.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
But it's fun. It's too expensive. It's way too expensive.
See, one of my things with it, like what I'm talking about is that like why I'm so excited for Persona is to get to know characters and get invested with them and do things and constantly be leveling and have lots of time. And that's why I want Patapon. That's why I want Peace Walker with trophies. I just want a game that I fucking love. Because I was even trying to play Metal Gear Solid 3 again. And I'm not trying, I am. And it's just one of those things, like, just the little inconveniences that they put into, that they fix for Peace Walker make it so much, that game I want to play, whereas I'm playing this and I'm like, oh, I wish I could crouch watch, I wish I could do this.
Ragnarok Odyssey. That's going to be a game.
That'll be cool.
That's going to be a good game.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about Dragon's Crown, and I'm,
God,
I'm nervous about it just because, I mean, I know Atlas is trying to step in.
Yeah, I don't know if that game's ever going to come out. I don't know. I don't know about that game.
Man, that's so sad, too, because I was just, put a pin in something about 3DS that I want to talk about, but...
Warrior's Lair?
Oh, there's the pin! It's been...
Pins in the wall!
It's so much blood! I was
speaking of XCOM, we have an XCOM interview to insert in this podcast. Don't let me forget number one. Number two, stay tuned, listeners. Eventually, we'll talk about video games.
I was just going to say, it was funny that Dragon's Crown, we're kind of like worried that it might not come because after writing and doing more research about Odin Sphere, doing the write-up for our top 100 RPGs, which you can still find on IGN.com.
Or through the Google.
Or through the Googles.
IGN top.
Which is, I loved that list. That was so exciting. So cool to just see all those games.
Where did Spider-Man on PS2 end up? Spider-Man 2.
Regardless of where they're ordered. But writing, when I was researching Odin Sphere, I was like, man, what a breathtaking achievement. Like, you know, what a fascinating, weird kind of game. And then that studio, like, I don't know what's going on with them right now. It's just scary.
I don't know either.
Let's go back to that pin real quick.
Taking it out of the wall.
Take it out of the wall. There's a 3DS game apparently called Fantasy Life. Did you see the trailer for that?
I saw that we had
that,
something on it.
When I was watching that kind of made me want to get a 3DS. And I've been trying to just not because... I just don't know if I want another handheld.
I got one of those 3DSs.
Yeah, you do.
Played it zero times.
have you literally not played
it? It's on my shelf.
Is it boxed still?
No, it's...
Okay, you've unboxed it.
Yeah, I bought it from Gold Farm.
Oh, you bought it from Gold Farm.
Imagine, you know, a backpack infomercial, and Colin brought it home as the, like, is your life too hard and you don't have a way to carry all your things? And he was carrying, he had his Vita, his 3DS, then you had, like, three other PS3 games, then you had, like, a book, I remember, something with jazz like that. You're just, like,
and
stumbling,
I it
you're
all.
Stumbling off Muni with all this crap. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, no. It's that, you know, I'm hesitant about it just because I know that, you know, as we just said, like, right, my PC works fine. There's a lot of different quirky kind of little indie games that I can get for the cheap and I wouldn't have to buy a whole new system. I don't know.
Here's the thing about Nintendo 3DS, Clements.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Is I'm trying really hard to keep an open mind about it because I know that, you know, the games are what matters. If the game's good, it doesn't really matter what the hardware is, but... Whenever I pick up a 3DS and I'm kind of just playing with it, I'm like, you know what? Honestly, this thing feels like a piece of shit compared to the Vita.
Oh, totally agree.
And I don't really want to play it. You know, like
you still like the hardware.
It's just, yeah, it's like I'm usually not I don't care. Like, you know, the NES was very underpowered compared to the Master System. You know, on and on. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, there are always examples of this. And you know, there are plenty of fun Wii games that, you know, and the Wii is like, you know, a baby's toy compared to the PS3 and the Xbox 360. But with this thing, it just doesn't feel constructed right. It's just,
the top screen still wiggles back and forth. The buttons on the bottom, like the start, still look like someone just put stickers over buttons.
Right. Yeah.
Is the XL, is that what it's called? 3DS
XL. Yeah, that's right.
Are the buttons still tiny as all get out? Like the actual face
I don't know.
Buttons?
I haven't actually held one. But
you bought it just a
standard regular one. Because I didn't want that. First of all, that thing is like laughably large. Like I can't.
Everyone who has it loves it though.
I know.
Trucker loves his. Connor loves his. Yeah,
it looks great. It's just laughably large. It's like the laughably large phones that are coming out recently that look like you're talking into an iPad. Can't get into that.
Oh yeah. The sort of resurgence of
resurgence.
But I don't know. It's like I'm excited about 3DS. Like when there are certain games that are coming out, I asked to review Castlevania when it comes out next year and stuff. Like there are certain games that I'll play on it, and you know, hardware be damned. I guess, but every time I pick that thing up and I'm like, I'm just gonna play something, I'm like, I don't want to play on this. Like, this thing just doesn't look good, it just doesn't feel right. The Vita is
Vita's
so much better
than
this, you know. And I don't,
Vita is very comfortable.
And I know that sounds fanboyish, but it's just like, whatever. The Vita is just so much better than the Nintendo 3DS. It's just, you know,
on a hardware perspective,
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. It's just,
but then
just,
like, yeah, then you turn it on the airplane, you look at it, you scroll through the bubbles, like, eh, no, okay.
No, it's also I do like the bubbles to an extent, I just feel like there could be a more streamlined OS for the Vita and for some.
I wish it was cross media.
I like it when you double tap and it goes a little like it's got, you know, like
the
bars,
pages,
the pages.
Like,
that's
cool
much better.
Like
I would like
that.
I would rather that be it.
Yeah, it's cool stuff like that for show.
What?
You're making the noise. There it is. That's what you know. What?
Yeah,
you know what you're doing.
Greg doesn't like that noise. That lickety lick noise.
Ah, God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for sticking through the first 13 minutes of the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. Let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I really want to say we got our groove back, and all it took was dumping Goldfarb.
I know.
We thought he was our he's like the Anakin Skywalker. We thought he was going to save Podcast Beyond. He destroyed it.
You were supposed to save the. Well, I actually don't even know the end of that.
That's pretty much it. You're doing pretty good. You were supposed to
save the what? What does he save? What's he supposed to save? The universe.
You're supposed to save the Jedi, not destroy it, right?
Okay, Jedi. All right.
Does that make sense?
Who cares?
You like Star Wars?
Yeah, I do. Lord Vader, rise. All right. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. What's how many items?
There are 11 items on the list.
11 items on the Roper Report this week.
Pretty good ones.
Good.
Yeah, good. If I do say so myself.
I know, like, on the IGN scale, where would you rate the totality of these items.
8.0 overall. 8.0, great. Great. Number one. That sounded really sarcastic too. I was like, great. Number one, seems that some gamers are having issues with Resident Evil 6 on PlayStation 3. I've been digging about this one today.
No, yeah, you've been on it.
The issues seem limited to European players who pre-ordered and preloaded the game onto their consoles. We can't pre-order anything, or can't preload games here in North America yet.
Thanks a lot, Founding Fathers.
I know, it's all their fault. Capcom has acknowledged the problem, which stems from a patch that makes your PS3 refuse to authenticate the game. Capcom provided IGN with an extensive statement about the problem, some short-term fixes for it, and long-term plans about getting rid of the problem completely. So go read up, Greg.
Okay.
Because I'm not explaining it again.
Oh, okay. it's complicated. You gotta delete it, then you do the patch.
Yeah, basically...
You do the patch, delete it, reinstall it.
Yeah, if you download the patch, you have to delete the entire game, which will take you like 17 days to download the game again. If you didn't download the patch, you could refuse the patch, but you can't play online. Even if you get it working, people that bought it on PSN can't play with people that have the disc. The problems that are so ridiculous that you didn't even think they were possible. Welcome to PlayStation, where things like this happen every day. Number two, Escape Plan on Vita is getting its fourth DLC pack. Director's Cut DLC adds 21 new levels as well as new trophies. Escape Plan is also getting a new update, version 1.04, that adds some fixes and tweaks to the game. Fabulous game. Time to work on something else.
Yeah, I thought you had an interesting tweet there. You know, you're as big as Escape Plan as anybody. Fan of it. But you don't want no more DLC.
No, I said it in the story, too. I was just like, as an aside, like, I'm a huge fan of this game. The studio's small, so they can't possibly be working on another game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just... Let's do something else.
I forget, in the breakdown list of, you know, Sony doesn't release numbers. They release, you know, placing, though, how things have sold. How did Escape Plan sell?
Escape Plan is easily, I would say, probably in the top three best-selling games on Vita.
It'd be interesting. I wish they would be honest, or not honest, but open about how much the DLC's selling. I mean, I guess there has to be, they're still making the fourth pack, people have to be
picking it up. Must be like, to me, it seems like it's one of the very few games that anyone cares about on Vita. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why you would release four DLC packs for it. The thing that bothers me is they've released so much content for this game now, they could have just made a sequel, and I think that probably would have just been a better thing. It should just make a sequel, you know? There'll definitely be a sequel. Mm-hmm. Also, as I am Clements this morning with funny little picture, little and large, from the new thing, how are they not in All-Stars?
Yeah.
How are these guys not in All-Stars? Very disappointing, especially because a lot of the guys that are on Funbits made Fat Princess, which is also in PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah, but Fat Princess is a more recognizable franchise right now.
I bet you, by the way, that there's a bit of a...
I guess so.
I bet you there's a balance there between... and some drop-off. So say there, you know... oh my gosh, Escape Plan. There we go. I almost forgot the name of it. Escape Plan.
What are we talking
out.
About?
What are we talking about? Who's this giant man? So Escape Plan hits... And they do like two DLC packs. I bet those would sell better than if they went from Escape Plan to Escape Plan 2. Whereas I bet that the more DLC packs they may have, I bet there's got to be like a downward trend there, right? Like they sell less and less.
You would
time.
Assume so. Yeah.
So I would.
They're
assume,
expensive.
Yeah,
the DLC is expensive. So, it's like $5. That's almost as much as the game costs.
How much are you getting out of those?
21 stages. And you can beat each level.
How long
I mean,
was the original game proper?
How long was it?
Yeah,
I beat it in like 5 hours, probably.
Yeah, but do you know? Did they actually split it into stages?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many were stages?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 50. I don't remember.
So you are getting a significant amount of content though in those DLCs.
Yeah, you are. I just to me it's like I don't know. I don't get it. But, you know, I don't like Greg said. We don't know the metrics and the numbers. Like they're obviously making money on Escape Plan. You would assume.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since it's like the only game on Vita that gets like. Post-release content. Yeah. Number three, the original Mass Effect is coming to PlayStation 3 by way of the Mass Effect trilogy. This is big news. This will be the first time the original game and thus the entirety of the trilogy will be playable on PS3, which was until a few days ago considered impossible due to Microsoft having published the original. The collection comes to Xbox 360 and PC in early November. The PS3 version doesn't yet have a release date. The original Mass Effect will be available on PSN apart from the trilogy as well. Should you want to buy it on its own, it will cost $15.
John writes into beyond@ign.com and he says, Greg, Colin, Ryan, and Andrew. Sorry, John. Andrew has abandoned you and does not care for your questions. Do you expect the old PS3 Mass Effect games to be able to read the save file from the upcoming Mass Effect 1, i.e. I own Mass Effect 2 and 3, but if I buy the PSN ME1, can I play through the trilogy with one character?
Yes, I would assume that is going to be in the cards.
I thought you'd confirmed. I thought we knew that.
I didn't confirm anything.
Maybe it was Goldfarb. Maybe it was nobody. Maybe I'm making that up.
I mean, it would be ridiculous.
If
not
you
to.
Don't know it, then I must have made it up. But yeah, it's a conversation that's going on in the office. Obviously, yeah, I think that for sure those save files would work over that.
They'll patch the games.
If you create a Mass Effect 1, you'll be able to play through. I don't think that you'll be able to take a Mass Effect 2 character and go back and start at 1. No. Just being clear for John. Flag.
I think the 2 and 3 will get patches. And, I mean, 3 is already getting a massive patch on Thursday, so it might already be built in. to just accept the saves from, you know, it already accepts the Mass Effect 2 save. So I guess actually Mass Effect 2 is the only game that needs to be patched in that sense.
In that regard.
I've been a little out of the loop with the DLC for Mass Effect after the kind of ending debacle thing.
Oh,
how many packs have been either released or planned to be released?
I think it was two, right?
It was Leviathan and one other thing?
And yeah, there's one more that's not out yet.
Extended
but that was
Is Leviathan already
no,
out, though?
Leviathan's out, I think.
All right.
There was one more, though, that they teased at PAX.
And I don't think that's out yet.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay. So I think it's right. one. And yeah, I think there's another one. Plus, at there's a bunch of multiplayer packs.
Yeah. Oh, the multiplayers. I always forget there's multiplayer in that game.
Mass Effect multiplayer is fun.
I'm
going to be honest with you. I didn't like it when I first played it.
I know.
Like,
I remember you
at
saying
an event,
you,
I'm like,
I think
what
you said you hated it.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, well, because it ran at like... It ran like shit. It was boring. They definitely fixed it in time for the game. I was pleasantly surprised by how good it was. It's a horde mode somewhat. Not as good as horde mode in Gears, but fun. And I intended on playing more of it, but then I soured on Mass Effect 3, as we know.
You got sour, like some milk.
Yep, some milk just left out overnight.
Or orange juice.
Oh,
you do that a
that
lot.
That was a tragedy.
That would have been. Does orange juice go bad?
It gets sour, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You have to refrigerate orange juice, yes. Yeah.
You can't leave it out.
Well, I know you can't leave it out, but like if you left it out for like... one night, it's just
oh yeah, one night
bad.
Would kill it. Yeah,
Colin likes to. He Colin is an interesting guy at this because he eats all these things that spoil, but he'll leave them out. He doesn't give a crap. He'll see what I'll walk by and there'll just be mayonnaise sitting on there. I'm like, when was the last time this kid ate this stuff? But there it is, spoon on top of it. He was gonna come back with another plate of rice.
Yeah.
Forgot about it.
Yeah. Rice and mayonnaise is the best. Tell you what, pizza and mayonnaise is good too. As I showed on Twitter this week,
I thought it was ranch. No, but it was mayonnaise. You're right.
It was definitely mayonnaise.
Ranch is the more common one. I've heard and know of people eating ranch.
Mayonnaise isn't common. Yeah. I think I probably made that up.
Okay.
Now I think that a good old blue cheese and pizza is one of the best.
That's an upstate joint, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
That's an upstate joint.
That's what I'm talking about.
No.
Number four. This is an interesting thing because Microsoft just announced, of course, their 1% back, 2% back.
Right. If
bullshit.
You're the rewards program they're talking about.
If you spend, which is like almost insulting how little money that is. If you spend $100 on PlayStation Network in October, you get $20 back to spend in November. This deal has only been verified for North America and includes not only game purchases, but purchases of PlayStation Plus special programs like NFL Sunday Ticket and more. Now, I will say that when I first had read about Xbox's program, which is like depending on your achievements, I was actually pretty excited about that because I'm like, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Let's see how they tie your achievement, because I'd like the trophies to mean something as well, but it's so meaningless, the amount of money you get back. 1% or 2% back, I think you get. It's like, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's a dollar for every $100 you spend. You know?
Sure.
It's like, that's... You would have to even be able to buy a game on PSN, you'd have to spend, at that rate, you have to spend $500 to get $5 back. So, thanks anyway.
What's you talk about this being a good deal or whatever. You can do today with the PlayStation Store. There's that bundle for Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, you're done.
Yep.
That's over $100. You get Assassin's Creed 3 and Assassin's Creed Liberation for what is it? It's $120.
$120, and it's a special edition of Assassin's Creed 3.
Right, with all that DLC and whatnot. Yeah.
I think Luke on Twitter hit me up today and was saying something about there's an Amazon pack where it has what games are in it? Mirror's Edge, Saboteur, Bulletstorm. Out with the other
Bullet Storm, I forgot
there
about
was,
that
there was a it was a cool little
it had
collection.
A boot on the cover.
It was like a like digital collection of like five or so games for $10.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. That's great. And it's like has a funky name. It's kind of like the like
the games that didn't sell well pack.
Sneaking blah 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 pack. Like it's like a bunch of verbs that you do in the games, and that's what
a bunch of verbs that you do
bunch
in the games.
Bunch of verbs pack.
Saboteur was cool. I played it for like only an hour, and I never went back to it.
They had naked ladies in it, I remember.
Wasn't that the one where like Clayman was playing it and went around and just like sucker punched a bunch of like civilians
think,
or something?
I think
do
so.
Do you remember
yes.
that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I meant to play it. It's a great idea for a game.
Yeah.
But I never went back to it. I don't know why. Too many other games to play.
The only reason I know Saboteur is because in Final Fantasy 13, that was one of the names of the paradigms.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, it was.
What a game.
You know all about it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Number five, in an interview with Eurogamer, Sony UK's Fergal Garrow spoke a bit about a price cut for PlayStation Vita, noting that the company, quote, always aims to establish price cuts, so the question is not so much if, but when,
mm-hmm.
end quote. However, he did say the price cut won't be coming by this Christmas, noting that Sony is trying to increase the value of Vita by bundling with stuff, something you and I, Greg, have called the de facto price cut.
Or...
termed by me. If you see it anywhere else, you know I made it up.
kind of like Myriad.
I didn't make that word up, but I did
really?
popularize it.
But it's got the root like Moriarty,
yeah.
So that's what you told
yeah.
me originally. You
yeah.
used you made the root word.
Yeah.
So
his
you
middle
were
name is Iriad.
Iriad Moriarty. Colin Erie and Moriarty. It's backwards. Doesn't really make any sense.
But you like a phone book.
Number six, in an interview with CBG, Sony UK's Fergal Guyer confirmed that the company is looking into the most obvious thing in the world, bundling the Vita together with the PS3 and selling them together. He said that such bundles could conceivably be ready to go by Christmas. Of course, if they listened to Podcast Beyond before the Vita came out, they would have known that that was the obvious thing to do from day one.
Do that right away.
Hey, you're putting out a new PS3 anyway with a sliding top. Toss Vita in there. What the hell?
Yeah, put the Vita inside the top.
There you go.
Then close the top.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah. And they just slide it. Whoa! Vita! They throw it away.
Greg and I arrived at the
same time. Man, I can't wait to take my Madden season on the road. Wait, what?
The fact that that hasn't happened yet is like pretty troubling stuff to me.
Mm. You're the same guy telling them to keep their Venn diagram separate.
So. Yep. Well, you got to keep the Venn diagram separate, but you should still want to make the systems at least act ubiquitously.
Sure. I love that term. Keep the Venn diagram.
It doesn't make any sense because Colin wants the crossover to be smaller. He wants the Venn diagram money spot, if you will, the honey pot.
Right,
be a little bit smaller.
Like
the money spot honey pot is what we call it.
We got three big
kids break that out when you learn about Venn diagrams. They're like, what do we call the area in the middle? Hand up. I believe it's called the money spot honey spot. Money spot honey pot. Money spot honey pot. If you see that in the geometry textbook, they stole it from me. Money spot.
No, I think that the ubiquity between the consoles is really important. And making them interchangeable with each other is important. But by making smart decisions about what games you do with sound shapes, okay, that makes sense.
I don't think sound shapes did make
Sly
sense.
Sly Cooper?
100%. See, I think Sly Cooper
makes sense. Not so much, no.
Sly Cooper is Sly Cooper makes sense because it's a long game. It's a long game that you want to be able to take on the road. I would have played Borderlands in the plane yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, I'm invested in those games. I'd like to take, if I'm invested in a campaign, I want to be able to take that campaign on the road.
You want to know what campaign you're going to be able to take on the road, Greg? Because I have a prediction for you.
Okay, yeah, hit it with me.
You know what game is going to be on Vita as well?
Is it already announced?
It's announced for PS3.
PS3, obviously. You're going to say, what, some bullshit like Last of Us? Beyond? Yes. Last of Us will not be on the Vita.
Yes.
That is just one of your craziest predictions.
Oh, yes. And that won't belong on it either.
I was going to say, that one's like, that campaign will be, what, 5-6 hours probably?
Oh, God, I hope not.
8?
No, maybe. No. I hope...
It's Naughty
We're
Dog.
Looking at a 20-hour game.
I'm not knocking Naughty Dog, but
it'll be 6 hours, I'm jumping out the window.
It's going to be on par with. It's going to be on par with Uncharted.
Uncharted's not 6 hours long.
I know, but it's like
20
eight.
Hours.
No, longer than that.
10.
I'd say 10 to 12.
At most.
Yeah.
No, Uncharted's most. Are like 8
I play
to 10.
Hard, but
oh well, there you go then.
Yeah,
like your first
man,
time through,
like a man.
Like a man. Like a man. How's your Uncharted 3 platinum?
Probably 8. Second of all,
if we're going to keep talking about the Uncharted 3 platinum, I'm sorry to interrupt.
You're gonna bring up my Dante's Inferno.
We're gonna talk about
my Jurassic the Hunted.
I get back from Comic Con, I'm platinum Uncharted 3. All right, I'm just gonna do it and just get out of the way. So
look how annoyed you are. That's why everybody brings it up in Beyond emails. You know, it's like the one thing in your armor. Because
I just haven't. By the way, when Ramon, my best friend from college, was here this weekend, you had left. You had a kind of an emergency to attend to.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
I miss him. I wish I could hang out with
him. We were bombed on Saturday night. And
that's my word.
And we were talking, and he's like, he doesn't know anything about PlayStation 3. We used to play PS2 all the time in college, but he doesn't know anything about it. So we were bombed, and we were eating like French fries, and I put in Uncharted 3 for him, and he's like, I want to see this Uncharted game. I'm like, oh, you're gonna be blown away. This is a great game. So I put in Uncharted 3. 2 hours later, or two minutes later, rather, he's just on the ground in my living room snoring. 10.0. Number 7. In an interview with IGN, John Kohler noted that the company is pleased with the PS3 and Vita, noting that Sony wants Vita to follow a 10-year cycle. Much like PS2 and PS3 before it. He told me that, of course, Greg. Yeah.
I was about to say, in an interview with IGN, you mean you.
Yeah, but I don't want to take credit for it.
You guys were breaking bread.
He also said that he, quote, feels great about what's coming, end quote, for PS3. It was an interesting interview. I talked to him on Friday, but I sat on it for a couple of days because I wanted to kind of marinate on what was important in there. And what I kind of realized with that interview, you can find that on IGN PS3 or IGN Vita, is that he said quite a few interesting things. Yeah. And the 10-year cycle, I think, is probably the most interesting one. But when I pressed him on the studios and why they're closing, he kind of dodged the question and told me that he wasn't prepared to speak about any future acquisitions. I still think Quantic Dream is going to get purchased by Sony. And they won't talk specifically about that. I also asked him about PlayStation 4, and of course,
nothing.
He wouldn't talk about that either.
You asked him about Orbis? Try to trip him up?
They must practice so much not even doing anything with that console, because like that no one said anything about it yet. Like, someone is obviously gonna break at some point, and hopefully I'm the one who breaks one of them, because that would be awesome. But because even when I was setting up the interview, and I you know, they're like, what do you want to talk about, and I'm like, you know, PS4, You know, and they're like, yeah, you saw the email. You were on the email. And I'm like, they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to ask about it. So they prepared. And they're like, John Kohler, don't say anything.
Oh, can you talk about PS4 yet? He's woke up out of his, like, chamber. He's not sure what year it is.
What year is this? Number 8.
Hello?
Time traveling John Kohler.
That's a new character, time traveling.
Conversational podcast. During a dinner party a couple weeks ago, Greg, I told the infamous story about you being in Clayman's apartment with the door creaking open. Yeah. You're like, hello, with the knife.
Yeah.
The cat rubs up against you. I love that story.
Did it go over well?
Everybody, oh, it went super.
All right, good.
You saved my ass at that dinner party.
When you say it's a dinner party, I picture it as like he's in a tux and he's got like the little wine glass and like
it's like Boardwalk Empire.
These old people.
I have a monocle.
Yeah. I didn't watch it this week.
I didn't watch it yet either. You see, it got renewed.
I don't doubt. No doubt, son. No
well, I thought maybe they were starting to end it. I mean, a prohibition only lasts so long, Greg.
Yeah. Nucky Thompson, though, he'll get up into other shenanigans. Don't worry about it.
I want to see what that show has. I want that show to go all the way up to the crash because I think that'll be really cool.
That'd be cool.
When everyone like loses everything. Number 8, IGN exclusively. Cause, by the way, you know those roaring 20s, they get a little crazy before 1929, I'll tell you what.
What year are we at now?
24.
Okay.
How much just raw, like, crazy sex happened during that time? That's what I want
According to
know.
The show, a lot.
Yeah, well, the 1920s were supposed to be, like, dope. Like, they really were. The 1920s were supposed to...
It got.
I'm sure it got crazy. The 1920s were, like, uninhibited nonsense because everyone was... Even though the country had passed prohibition laws and stuff, like, everyone was against it. Like, it was, like, one of those things where it was kind of, like... An unholy alliance of votes and stuff like that passed the constitutional amendment and stuff like that, and to kind of please certain groups, but that everyone was kind of against it. And I think people got crazier. I mean, that's obvious. Like, crime went up like through the roof during the 20s because of that, and people just got totally crazy. That's why they pulled back and amended the Constitution again to get rid of the amendment, which is the most annoying thing in the world. I wish we could just erase them.
Mm-hmm. All the amendments?
No.
No, these ones that cancel each other out.
Yeah, it's like there's a couple that cancel each other out. And it would just be like, can't we just vote to erase the old amendment as opposed to like adding more?
Would you leave the numbers the numbers jump?
So no. The numbers would just, that number would always be like an erased amendment.
Yeah, okay.
But like having an, you know, amendment this, erases amendment all this. Right, it's like, okay.
I'm sorry, but dude, like I'm trying not to swear on the podcast anymore, by the way.
Why?
I know that we're explicit, but I don't know. I've just been trying to watch my mouth. I know, for no reason. We can talk about it later. But, dude, you just hit, like, Hollywood jackpot right there. Think of that. Like, think of the big poster, The Erased Amendment, and it's, like, this political thriller about, like, how there was, like, a lost amendment or something in the history of the United States.
That'd be nice.
That would be
rad. Wait a second. Why does it jump from 40 to 42? The Erased Amendments.
What would be cool is if you had the original...
It's the sequel to that Julianne Moore movie when they're peeling back the wallpaper.
What was that?
The Forgotten, I think, right?
Oh, I don't.
It's the one that they made fun that they used and they parried in the what was it, Ghost Boobs or whatever with Olivia Munn. I'll be quiet now.
I think I might.
I saw that Olivia Munn video.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. What was it called? Ghost Tits? Ghost Boobs? Something like that. That was awesome.
She's constantly closing.
Yeah,
the door.
Yeah. Because they were making fun of the stupid Julianne Moore thing. If you didn't have the boobs, why do you have the bra?
But that was a great video.
I think the plot for this movie, this hypothetical movie,
the Erased Amendment. Sorry.
Would be, you know, because like they, you know, everything's kind of going on with Mona Lisa right now, where like they are able to like x-ray it and stuff like that and realize that like he had erased things and painted over things and like there are things on the canvas underneath. So maybe it would be like on the parchment that the original Bill of Rights was written on, that they did some stuff and realized that, you know, Madison and his crew erased certain things that were originally there and thus a big conspiracy
is
untapped.
That would be a really cool, fascinating setup for a movie.
Sounds like National Treasure 4, but
I'm going to sue people if they do it. I'll tell you what, because I just said it.
What would you
I
do
just said
the
it.
Myriad of lost amendments.
Tomorrow on Apple trailers, they have the Erased Amendment trailer.
Well, that you can't get too mad about. Starring. Unless it was time travel and John Kohler. Produced by John Kohler. Damn it!
It's all coming together.
A Sony Pictures joint.
Number 8. IGN exclusively confirmed this week that Rainbow Moon, the surprise PSN hit, and by IGN I mean me, will be confirmed to PlayStation, or becoming the PlayStation Vita in 2013. It will hopefully support crossplay, though the developer noted that it won't be able to give the game away for free to those who already purchased it for PS3. They are, however, looking into discounts for buying it on both platforms.
When's that coming out?
They said it'll take them about 9 months. Yeah. It'll take them 9 months. They're a small team.
Yeah.
The exciting thing, too, that I don't think a lot of people picked up on is that they said that they're looking and thinking about bringing Soldier X and Soldier X 2 to Vita, which would be fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that Soldier X 2, especially because they think that game is so awesome and that people Soldier didn't, X 2 and, was awesome. And they don't want to, people don't appreciate it.
I agree.
And
with I that. Agree. I agree with that 100%.
They are a very good studio. Those guys, the SideQuest Studios, is very underrated. They also said they're working on another game. They haven't confirmed the platform yet. I bet it's a PS3 game that fans of Rainbow Moon will like a lot. I wonder what that could be.
Rainbow Boom. Sun.
Whoa.
They said it. Well, I don't think it's a sequel, but that'd be cool. Number nine, the Assassin's Creed Ezio trilogy is coming exclusively to PS3 in November. It includes Assassin's Creed 2, Revelations, and Brotherhood, and will cost $40.
That's a good deal. Games get less and less interesting, but good deal.
Until Assassin's Creed, I'm excited about Assassin's Creed 3.
Can't wait for Assassin's Creed 3. I got no qualms about being excited about that one.
I have no quarrel with you, sir.
Maybe you didn't play. You haven't played 3 yet at any events, have you?
No, I've not touched it. In fact, I've been ignoring and avoiding everything about the game.
Got it. All right.
I write my
except
little
for
my
when you do,
pieces.
Except for when you tear apart trophy lists.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. I mean, as far as like the Boston Tea Party video is like one of the first videos I've ever watched.
That was
game.
An awesome video.
And yeah, that is an awesome video. And I've just been, because it's funny because like I know everything that happened in the American Revolution. I mean, that's like the thing I love the most, but I'm trying to avoid like how they twist it and turn it. And they kind of alluded to it in that trailer, which is fucking awesome. The way that trailer was made is like so cool.
I didn't see that one yet, actually. That's good. I should check it out.
Yeah, because it's like the Templar standing around with the Founders, basically. It's like really cool.
I really wish that I had some sort of base knowledge of the other Assassin's Creed games, since Desmond like ties them all together. I know nothing about
him. You got some time, go play them.
I'm not going to. Just read. I'm probably not going to play both Assassin's
Creed 1,
2, Revelations, and Brotherhood.
Don't forget about Bloodlines either on the PSP. You lost and you don't know.
Do we not have an Assassin's Creed in 5 minutes video?
I think so.
We should definitely do one if we haven't done one.
It's too late.
We
now.
Had an older one that didn't include Life some of the control. Other stuff, I believe. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think the story in Assassin's Creed is very interesting. I only played the second one.
But that's the thing. Like, didn't you miss out on one then?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was told implicitly not to go play one.
I hate missing that stuff. It just
collect
makes
the
me
flags.
Feel, gets me all on edge. I get all nervous. My hands start shaking.
Sit on the bench.
See, what I'm going to be really disappointed. Yeah, see, what I'm gonna be really disappointed about with Assassin's Creed 3 is if it's not good. That's going to be a real bummer if that game's not good, because it's just.
I think it'll be fine.
Hopefully the gameplay is better, because everything else is fine.
I bet the gameplay is going to be very similar to the other ones. So you're going to be all calling about it. Yeah. All calling about it. I'm not hitting enough buttons.
It's one of the great conspiracies that game plays well. It's one of the great conspiracies. Talking about
people
conspiracies.
Are allowed to have differing opinions. I mean, if they enjoy it, if they think it controls well.
Yeah,
I mean,
to each his own, of course.
What are you to say, Colin?
Still Vanquish. Moriarty. Number 10.
It is no Vanquish.
Joe Danger the Movie, also known as Joe Danger 2, is coming to PlayStation 3. Originally having only come to 360, developers behind the game promised its PS3 release, quote, really soon, end quote. It'll come with 10 hours of extra content on PS3, not available on Xbox 360.
Well, there you go.
That's cool. Some I don't really stunts. Care about Joe Danger, but
yeah, not at all.
A lot of people do. I understand why some people were a little upset that Joe Danger 2 didn't come out day and date with the 360 version on PS3. It's a similar argument with Bayonetta 2 on Wii U. People are like, well, we're the ones who made this game popular. Now you're giving it to a whole other audience. I get it. But at least you're getting it now.
Do you doubt it?
That's
kind of something. You kind of have the inflection
that.
Of an I doubt it.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to have to just play all of Bayonetta on like an office Wii U. I really don't think I'm going to get a Wii U.
I'm telling you, I don't care who's publishing that game. That game's not going to be only on Wii U. I know that game somehow, some way, is going to come to PS3 and 360.
I mean, yeah, maybe years after like the original Mass Effect.
Well, it's like the Ninja Gaiden games, like... You know, like you add like some extra content and give it a different title. There must be ways around it. Like I don't believe that that game is going to be only on Wii U. I don't believe it.
I agree with that. I agree with you. I just, it's going to suck to have to wait that long, but what are you going to do?
I predict the wait will be under a year for that.
So?
Yeah.
All right. You've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
It'll be like Bayonetta 2 extended edition or something. I don't know.
No,
probably
it should
not.
Be like Bayonetta 2 extra hard.
Something. Yeah,
her clothes are her hair.
Yep.
Oh, I this like game's so quirky.
I love that. That's what you took away from all of the game.
This does give me a chance to update hair. My Bayonetta 2 cover image I made,
oh,
or Bayonetta cover image. Just put a 2
that.
On that.
I
put
still
a 2
have
on that.
That
and it's all set
on
to go.
My computer. Greg tried to make in like paint MS Paint or something a cover image, like an IGN cover image for Bayonetta, and it was just a really terrible stick figure.
It was great
for like shooting guns.
I still haven't played that game. I've been meaning to, but I think it's just sitting on my shelf. Number 11, after many delays, Silent Hill Book of Memories has a release date on PlayStation Vita.
Book of Memories.
Look for the top-down shooter set in the Silent Hill universe on November 2nd. That's exciting.
Yeah. I played that at the Konami event.
What do you think?
Plenty of previews about it before.
I didn't think it looked good.
It does not look good.
Just from video, anyway.
It does not look good. Gameplay's a bit out there as far as what the hell's going on, because I don't know. You know, it's an event. I had headphones on, but it still didn't help me out figure out what I'm running. I'm looting chests or whatever. Yeah, I'm just beating witches with like a freaking a piece of wood I got or something crap like that. But here's the thing about it is, it was strangely addicting. I could see myself playing that game, and it's not like I think it's not. It doesn't look like a good game. It doesn't strike me as something that's going to score super well. But it does strike me as something like, okay, I could kill time with this in the Vita. Like, if it's going to be too, it'll probably be too expensive when it comes out. It'll probably not be worth it. But it's multiplayer. It's you know, the top down. It's got the RPG elements. You're looting. It kind of what I was describing it on the way out to Justin Davis, our mobile editor. I was saying it reminded me a little bit of a stand-in for Warrior's Lair, since there's no Warrior's Lair ever.
Yeah,
coming
who the
out
hell knows what happened to that
whatever
game?
The fuck that happened?
You know, this reminds me. It reminds me of a conversation I just had with Steve Butts, our managing editor here at IGN.com, where you know we were talking about XCOM: Enemy Unknown, which he, I believe, is currently playing.
He's reviewing it.
Hope I can say all that, right? That he's playing it. All right. Anyway, he was saying how who gets to decide what a franchise is all about, you know? Because, for example, my instinctive reaction to seeing the footage of Book of Memories is that is not a Silent Hill game at all. But then Steve's quote kind of made me think, like, do I really get to decide that? I mean, I am part of the audience. I am a consumer, but I mean, the developers have that decision. I mean, they guide the course of the franchise. But you know, even still, isn't the audience the people that know the games the best, the people that, you know, cherish?
See, I didn't look at it and say, this isn't a Silent Hill game. I just looked at it and said, this isn't a good game. But then I played it and I'm like, this is an interesting game.
Sure, sure.
See how this one's going to pan out?
I'm saying my reaction to it was, God, like, Silent Hill's all supposed to be about isolation and feeling scared and vulnerable, not having, like, team up with your buddy on the bus ride. Go kill some dudes. Well,
that's the problem with Resident Evil, too. Yeah. Resident Evil 5. I haven't played 6. But that was the problem with Resident Evil 5. And, I agree. I think that
it is never scarier when you have someone with you. Like, it just, I really just don't.
No, that's the whole argument with Dead Space too. Is like, what's going to happen with Dead Space? Like, Dead Space, I think I'm going to play through it single player for sure, and then maybe go back and see if I want to play with somebody and see the little things I missed or whatever.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll talk about a second what's at the mom and grop shops and what's on the digital downloads. There is a Silent Hill Vita demo this week, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's up right now.
All right, excellent. So you can go see it for yourself.
It's big. It's like 600 megs.
That's what she said.
Might be the full game actually, and you're probably just gonna get the code when you buy it on. I mean, that's
I can live with that.
I don't know. I haven't watched any video of it yet. I've read a little bit about it.
Yeah.
It sounds like Dead Nation.
No.
What, Book of Memories?
It's
not Dead Nation.
No,
it's not Dead
Book of Memories.
It's not even in premise like a dual stick. Shooter?
I had no gun. I mean, I was given a hatchet maybe, and I nurses
Think
walked up to me, and I hit them over and over again like an MMO, and their HPs clicked off there, or their, you know, and all these things.
See,
numbers are
not a Silent Hill game at all.
Numbers are clicking off, then they collapsed. Then I picked them up, and I just had a little bag that said jewels in it, and I was like, I got
that
some jewels.
That sounds kind of fun.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it looks good.
You remember when we were at that Konami event, and they're like, now let's bring out the star of the show. Adelaide Clemens. And I was like, oh, I was not expecting that at all. So they had the actress that's playing, what's her name? Heather? What's the girl's name in that in the Silent Hill movie? Anyway.
Speaking of movies with
Heather,
remember Heather's?
Sorry, I was just
I
really
do remember
excited.
Heather's. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Which movie?
Choke on it. What did you say?
Yeah.
What?
Suck it up. Or something like that.
That's a great
movie. Eat it up.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Heather's. It's a late 80s movie with Christian Slater.
Oh, yeah.
Guess
what? Never saw it.
No surprise there.
Fantastic movie. Fantastic.
It's on the Netflix instance.
Is it?
Yep. Yep.
I'm always looking for new instance Netflixes to watch.
Well, good. You got a good one there.
So not like Dead Nation.
No.
Because Dead Nation's that's a game.
Yeah, Dead Nation's a good game.
I think it would be more than a good game.
Well, you and I tend to differ of opinion on that, don't we?
That's the game. That's the game you and I don't see eye to eye on
it's
at all.
I like Dead Nation a lot. You would have given it like a 9, right?
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I probably could have come up a bit. Only game I look back on in my career and I go, I probably overscored that was Mod Nation Racers. But then I'm like, I don't know, 9.0 still sounds good for Mod Nation Racers. I don't know if I did overscore that, but it seems like it. The load times were really long. That's my one knock.
So you were
long load times on the Mod Nations.
So by the way, I forgot. Speaking of reviews, I forgot you weren't here for this because you know you were out yesterday.
Yeah.
During the morning meeting yesterday, we're talking about things that were upcoming. And Naughty Bear, Panic in Paradise, has a release date of October 9th.
And you're gone.
And, yeah, and I was like, and I said in the meeting, and I don't think anyone got the dire circuit, you know, the dire implications of this. I'm like, just so you guys know, Naughty Bear comes out next week, and I'm on vacation, which means one of you has to review it.
Yeah.
And then the meeting just ended, and I'm like, I don't think that you guys understood. One of you is reviewing Naughty Bear.
Yeah.
And it's not me.
Yeah.
And so I can just enjoy it.
How you feeling about that, Kyle, though?
I'm on this point. I wonder if you, but I'm so excited.
As America's biggest Naughty Bear fan, are you? What's your?
You could just say the world.
The world's biggest Naughty Bear fan. Mm-hmm. Are you highly and hotly anticipating Naughty Bear Panic in Paradise?
Yes, I am. I think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be fun. I don't think it's gonna be a great game. I just think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
What if it? So here's what I'm really excited about. This is a classic example of the girl that cried wolf. What if Naughty Bear Panic in Paradise comes out? It's like a really fantastic game. It's really well designed. It controls great. It's super addictive. Colin says this. He's trying to get everybody to play it. No one believes him because it's Naughty Bear. Man, that would be comedy.
They didn't
gold.
Do that game. They didn't do that game justice. The first one. I don't blame people for feeling apprehensive. I think people were too hard on the first one.
No.
And I don't think people appreciate the premise.
You always say that. I think you say it too just to get under my skin.
Why?
Why? How would I appreciate the premise in a review? What does that even mean?
Well, I think the premise is important.
The premise here had a lot of potential. It didn't come together, so I'll give it an extra few points.
The premise and the presentation, the potential of the game.
Yeah,
I was actually just looking, great. I was like looking at my escape plan review, and I gave the presentation that game a 10 because that game is pretty much flawless in terms of what it's what it is. You know, like in terms of you know the characters, the quirkiness and stuff. And granted, Escape Plan is a much much better game than Naughty Bear, but you know there's something to be said about a game just in terms of what it does that's not gameplay, if that makes any sense. And I think that the setting of Naughty Bear and the idea behind Naughty Bear is really cool.
I agree with that, but
I don't think it should weigh the score necessarily. But
I just think it's hard to appreciate the premise or the potential of a game that didn't the untapped potential of a game when you're reviewing it.
Yeah,
no, that's other than saying this game could have been a lot better.
No, I agree with that.
But I think when you give any game a 3, it's like obviously this game could have been better.
Yeah, it's not a 3 though.
I like how we just said that one thing we don't agree on: Dead Nation. And we're like, well, Naughty Bear too. what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so if I went to the mom and grab shop and you did all that crap, what games are out this week? Where would I find that out?
It's getting harder and harder to get to that point, isn't it? You go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Ba-da-ba-ba-bow!
It's kind of like every week we've added something to that to get us... There's a journey to get to the title, and we've added something, but now we have so much, it's just a giant
now
pile.
Now it's not even a question anymore.
It's just nonsense.
It's like, right. at retail, Resident Evil 6 is out, and NBA 2K13 era is out at retail. Both of those games are on PSN as well, if you want to just download them. Downloadable on PSN for PS3, Lego Harry Potter Years 5 through 7, Nights into Dreams, which is the remake of the Saturn game, Sonic Adventure 2, which is a port of the Dreamcast game. For Vita, New Little King Story is out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Dunham is calling me right now during Podcast Beyond. I cannot answer. And he'll never listen to the show, so he'll never know why I didn't answer his phone call.
He's listening right now. He can hear us.
So that's it for PS3, PSN, and Vita. PS2 classics, Innocent Life, A Futuristic Harvest Moon, and Rough Trigger, The Vanicore Conspiracy. Now, that Rough Trigger game, I don't remember that game. That's like a really late PS2 game. I was looking into it. It's a Natsume game. It is a like comical ripoff of Ratchet and Clank. You guys should go look at it. It could very well be good, but yeah. I don't know.
Rough Trigger.
It's like a third-person platforming shooter.
Yeah.
The character's like a dog astronaut. Yeah.
And it's funny because like Rough Trigger R-U-F-F. Almost sounds even like
a porno?
Ratchet and Clank. No, I'm saying like there's like actual some like cadence and like
Ratchet and Clank,
too.
Rough Trigger.
Yeah. There's some similarities there.
Speaking of Ratchet and Clank, you should read my complete history of Insomniac games.
You should. Don't be stupid. Go read it.
Again, we talked about this already, but Vita is getting some demos that I thought were notable. Silent Hill. Book of Memories will have a demo, and also Zero Escape: Virtue's Last Reward, which is an interesting looking, I think, kind of like an adventure game. Will also be on 3DS. It's a sequel to a 3DS game called 999. That or a DS game called 999. That's it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked a lot about the game XCOM: Enemy Unknown. Clements, are you excited for XCOM: Enemy Unknown?
Oh, sorry, I was trying to pick up a piece of paper.
Yeah, I noticed.
Is that okay, big guy?
I guess.
All right. You know what, man? I don't know how I feel about XCOM.
You're fucking crazy. XCOM, I mean, Unknown. I got to power through Borderlands this weekend or coming into this weekend because I want to get ready for XCOM.
And wait. So this XCOM game is the real XCOM game.
This is the real XCOM game.
And it's going to be on PS3?
Yeah. It's PS3, 360, PC.
Huh.
It's really good.
I don't know why I didn't know that. I thought that was a PC game.
The real XCOM game.
Because there's that first-person shooter that now might be a third-person shooter XCOM. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
It's been in development hell for like 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
But yeah, XCOM Enemy Unknown, played at E3, loved it a lot.
I think it looked great when I was looking over Anthony's shoulder and watching him play. It looked super cool. Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where I don't have any active interest in it.
Really? That surprised me because you were such a Valkyria Chronicles fan.
Yeah.
Were you there for more of the anime style? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Turn-based strategy. Mm-hmm. Turn-based strategy. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, woo!
Yeah, it's
we all start screaming at the
we all just leave. We just leave the podcast running and go try to find copies of the game. Yeah, it's that. It's it has permadeath in it. So you get these recruits. You name them. I'm sure you'll have a Greg Miller. Greg Miller will go out and get killed. Greg Miller is dead.
Greg Miller is gonna be on the front lines.
That's what I said. Like I'm saying it up at noon that Clements is gonna be my Raina Clements. I'm gonna keep naming characters Ryan Clements and just send them out as my human shields to get killed.
That's awesome. I had no idea this was coming to it just seemed like a PC game to me.
No, yeah, the way they made their whole grid structure for moving your characters around was designed so that you could play it with a controller.
Or like the PlayStation Move?
Yeah, no PlayStation. Oh. No PlayStation. Well, maybe. I don't know. I guess it's possible. I haven't heard that.
What was that other strategy game you could use the move with?
I'm thinking of it.
Do you remember N?
Not Fuse.
Not N something.
It was an acronym.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Shit. Ubisoft. It was an Ubisoft game.
But do you guys remember the other game I'm thinking of where it was like voice controlled and it was like a strategy game that had voice commands in it?
That was one of the Command & Conquer, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't a Command & Conquer. It was I think I reviewed it. It was like a one-off.
Eye of Judgment.
No, it wasn't Eye of Judgment. I thought it had E in the title though.
Something okay.
With end in
Ruse
the title.
Is the game. Ruse. That's it. Fuck. Fuse was close. Yep. I was pretty good. Yep. I was close there. I knew that sounded somewhat right.
I was really excited about that game, and I went and played it, and I'm like, this is too large.
No, XCOM is looking really, really cool. And to tell you why it looks really, really cool, we have Garth DeAngelis and Jake Solomon here to join Gold Farm and myself for an interview. Colin, why don't you transition us into it?
Please listen to this interview now.
That's right, Colin Moriarty. Here we are. We are talking XCOM, Enemy Unknown, with me, Andrew Goldfarb, of course.
Yep, hi.
You were hopefully on the other part of the podcast.
Yeah, this will be confusing if I wasn't.
Nah, we don't know. What if I'm not there?
I'm in Colin's chair. I've never gotten to sit here before.
Oh, well, fart in it. Make sure he knows.
All right, we'll do it.
Mark your territory.
Already done.
All right, good. And then we have real people with real jobs. Hey, Garth. It's Garth DeAngelis. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
What's your role on the XCOM?
I'm the lead producer on XCOM.
Okay, and then next to you, using the power of imagination, Jake Solomon.
Right, and I'm naked.
Okay, good. See, there we go. Now the show's getting
good. Now the power of imagination begins.
Podcast Beyond After Dark.
Yes.
Jake, what's your role here on the XCOMs?
Lead designer.
Oh, man, you guys got some impressive titles.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to be called something even more, but...
We just made them up for this
podcast. Garth, you used to just be called producer, but now you're lead producer. How did that
happen? No, I was associate producer / level designer.
That's right.
Before moving into lead producer.
Now you're lead producer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, we just chew them up and spit them out.
Now I'm done.
I'm a pain in the ass to work for.
He seems so laid back, though.
He's I know.
That's what you. I know, right? It's the best scam I've ever run on someone. All right, so XCOM, it's a PC franchise. Why are you here on the PlayStation podcast? IGN's PlayStation podcast. The number one PlayStation podcast on the internet.
Oh, we think. That's exciting.
Which, when we checked iTunes that one time, we were number one.
Like 2 years ago, yeah.
Well...
Well, sure I mean, when Jake and the team sat down many years ago, you know,
many years ago,
many moons. Obviously, XCOM is a revered PC title, but you know, the team wanted to make something that any gamer could appreciate. It was designed from the ground up for consoles and PC.
Right, and we should say the original game actually has lineage on PlayStation.
Yeah, it was. It was on the original PlayStation.
Right, the original game was actually available on PlayStation. I meet people today who will still say their first. Experience with XCOM was on PlayStation.
Right.
Yep. Do they call it the definitive experience a lot? Our first definitive experience with it. No, okay. But this time around.
Yes, this time trophies. Around. No, I'm very excited because I love PlayStation, love Xbox, love PC as well, but to have a game like XCOM on the consoles mm-hmm. is extremely exciting to me because I've loved squad-based tactical games, and there's nothing out there on the market right now for console gamers like XCOM Enemy Unknown. So it's just very, very, very exciting.
And you got history. I mean, this is like Garth Annoy's the hell
always annoy Jake about. Right?
Because they'll be talking about, like, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
But, yeah, it has a great lineage. Yeah, I mean, the PlayStation has a great lineage for tactics games, turn-based tactics games.
Oh, yeah. Valkyria Chronicles, which was a wonderful game.
That's obviously,
The team actually really looked at that one. We loved how they, you know, brought the camera down into the battlefield when you're moving and we know they were also influenced
were
a little bit by XCOM.
Definitely by the original.
So that's just there's some cool synergy there. And, you know, you talk about Final Fantasy Tactics and the previous generations of PlayStation games. It's just exciting to be able to have a game like this now also in this generation. Yep. Because there were some really powerful games between Final Fantasy Tactics, Vandal Hearts, Tactics Ogre.
Oh, for God's sake. We're starting already.
Sorry, Jake.
He's showing how much he knows, Jake.
Let's give him the short version. Let's give him the short version of your love experience.
Jake's eyes are glossing over right now.
I've heard this many times.
You like those games, too.
I do, but, man, I just – every time this comes up
– You are earning plenty of brownie points with the podcast behind the audience by bringing this
up. That's good to hear.
That's the big thing for me is that I remember I got assigned at pre-E3 Judges Week to go see XCOM Enemy Unknown. And I got it and I was like, I don't know anything about XCOM. What is that? I don't want to even go to this. This game's going to suck. And I got there and I played it.
This is a great lead-in. I love where this story is going.
But I sat down and they gave me a controller and it wasn't a mouse and keyboard. And I played it and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. I can't wait to play this. And that I haven't lost that. A lot of games you see at previews, you get excited about. Then, you know, the next thing comes and the next thing comes and the next thing comes. You guys are the ones that's going to dethrone Borderlands 2 for me. Like, I have been obsessed with Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be obsessed with Enemy Unknown for XCOM. And I think one of the big things was, I mean, I've been waiting for this game. Like, I was a huge Valkyria Chronicles fan. Right. And we, you know, here on Podcast Beyond, we always wave the flag that they need to add trophies and do this and do that. And then they put it on PSP, and PSP was great. But then, it didn't sell, so they didn't bring number three over here, and nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Right.
And so it's like, it's great to see that kind of gameplay come back and have a place on the PlayStation.
Yeah. I think we obviously are excited for that as well. And you mentioned the show, where the first time you played the game at E3. It's not also just tactical turn-based games. I mean, we're doing a lot with this game with respect to, at the shows, I see a lot of gamers, console gamers, that either see our trailer or they're looking over somebody's shoulder playing and they see the cinematic cameras, they see these action-oriented segments in combat, and they ask me, and they say, what shooter is this? You know, this looks like a new third-person shooter or FPS. And I'm like, no, we're not exactly first-person.
What do you
shooter.
Want it to be?
Exactly. Whatever you want in there.
Whatever Call of Duty, Enemy Unknown.
Right.
But it's really cool because you see these younger console gamers as well that maybe never played Final Fantasy Tactics or those earlier generation of games be pulled in by this very, very slick presentation layer. Our artists did a phenomenal job. It looks like an action game.
But it's different, right? I mean, that's what we're excited and you know, honestly, a little bit terrified of. Is that, I mean, it's not like, you can't really sum up what XCOM is and say like, oh, it's like this game, like that game. Because we do talk about tactics games.
Yes.
But it's different. I mean, it's a very different experience.
I mean, are you concerned at all bringing like a super hardcore franchise like this to sort of a mainstream audience, like looking at something like the hardcore permadeath and like resource management and all of those things and bringing that to like the PlayStation audience that maybe is used to Call of Duty or Madden and stuff like that?
I think we're excited. And we've looked at some console games that have succeeded that have severe consequences. Jake talks a lot about consequences, which is what the original XCOM was about. You look at Dark Souls, Demon Souls on console. That's a brutal game, but gamers ate up that challenge. And one of the things we didn't want to distill the challenge of the original XCOM. That is all there. The consequences needed to be there. Permanent death, the ability to lose if you make poor decisions on the strategy layer. But we did want to make the game a little bit more intuitive to be able to play. The first time I played the original PC version, I was lost for a good 10 minutes. You know, I sat down and I didn't know exactly what to do. Jake was like, dude, this is what it's about. Figure it out. Right. Figure it out, man.
Are you a gamer? You know a gamer. He's screaming in your ear the whole time, spitting on your face.
You're fired if you don't figure this out.
I'm very hipster about the original XCOM. I'm sort of like, you probably never heard of it. It's just a really hard game to play. Whatever.
I was playing it before. It was cool.
I enjoyed it.
But again, we created this controlled experience, the first hour and a half of the game, that teaches anyone the ropes of XCOM, the magic of XCOM, all the interplaying systems, how they work together, all the decisions that you make, you know, the combat level, the how you build your own base and all the decisions you can make there. But we wanted to teach you about those systems instead of just dropping you in the game and not telling you anything.
Right.
And we think that's one of the biggest differences. But after you get past that extended tutorial, then it is very brutal, very challenging. I don't know if you want to talk about Iron Man and all the different. I mean, we've all these difficulties.
There's a Marvel crossover. A Marvel crossover.
Tony Stark's in there. It's great.
Build your reactor.
The Avengers.
We have these different difficulty levels that cater to the original game's challenge and legendary challenge.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I mean, the game is meant to be challenging. Challenge is a big part of the design of the game. But, you can go even further to where you can turn on Iron Man mode, which is the ultimate challenge, where you cannot save and reload. And in XCOM, things are tough. You're going to want to, but when you turn on Iron Man, the game saves itself all the time, and so there's no going back. And that's the ultimate form of the game, but I wouldn't recommend that for anyone just starting. So.
Right. See, I think it's one of those things, we start to talk about PC gamers and mainstream console gamers and stuff like that. I think we get into these, differences and little tweaks that don't matter as much. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things what excites me about it is the same thing that in a lot of ways excited me about Oregon Trail, right? Is I'm going to make my friends in this game.
Yeah,
and if they die, there's going to be a little tombstone that I'll have their story. Oh, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a big deal when Goldfarb gets killed by an alien, which will happen right away.
I'll go first.
Yeah. because there are those permanent consequences in the game, something as simple as renaming your soldier makes it so impactful.
And because you can change how they look, right?
Like,
Anthony's been playing nonstop. Anthony's been playing nonstop at his desk, and he will make people and then call us over to watch them go. He's like, Greg, I gave you the bald head. Steve's got the mustache. Let's see how all these people
do. Steve Butts was Anthony made a perfect Steve Butts.
We actually saw it. Yeah, and that actually is – I think we had that
the handlebar
in
mustache.
Yeah, that was done with Steve Butts in mind or a male stripper, whatever. A handlebar.
So. One and the same, really.
But yeah, like all that customization and all the choice is what really, really gets me excited for. Building the base, it's kind of like Metal Gear Peace Walker, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, where you get to go out there, build out your base, put your research points where you want.
Right.
And then the little stuff, I remember at the E3 demo, I got to make that choice if I wanted to go to China or if I wanted to take care of Kansas City. And you guys are like, I'm sorry, you can't do Kansas City right now. You have to go to China or whatever. And so I had to tell Damon when I got back. Damon, one of our editors, is from Kansas City. So I got back and had to break it to him that I let Kansas City burn. And I was like,
I'm from Kansas City, so typical.
But like that stuff's so exciting, and the way that that all plays out, right? You're talking about how you guys are part in the XCOM lore. You are working for this world organization, and you need them all on your side. So you have to make those decisions where even if you want to just take care of the continental United States all the time, you have to go do a China mission, or you have to go do that. That's awesome.
Right? Yeah. It has a lot of as a player, you're torn in a lot of directions, and it's not a game where there's a perfect way to play. There's not a game where everybody's going to survive and the whole world's going to be saved. It's a game where you're really making tough choices and there will be consequences as a result of it. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, here, I'm going to be selfish. It comes out October 9th.
Yes.
Exciting times. I will be flying to New York Comic Con that day. So, is there any hope for a Vita version ever?
We're focusing on the consoles right now.
You
at the moment.
Bitch.
That's the best response to a canned response. I love that.
Now, earlier you were talking about, it's hard to describe XCOM, right? Like, it's one of those things where people know the franchise, or now, that they've been listening to us for 15 minutes, they get what it is about it.
Right.
Has that been a hurdle for you guys trying to market the game?
In some ways, yes, I suppose. I think that, being honest, I think in some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I mean, in some ways, it would be scarier to be making a game that you were kind of like, well, it's like this other really popular game that you've already bought and are going to buy again. So it's kind of nice to be in the position where it's like, well, we describe it for you, and you know what? It's not like any other game you've played, which...
And I think it's okay that, especially console gamers from a younger generation that weren't around for the original XCOM in 93, 94, that they've never heard of it. And that's almost more exciting to me because we're breaking barriers. We're giving them this
experience.
Look
at that. We're building schools.
We are. We're building schools.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I have no idea.
We're breaking barriers.
He's
running for office.
We're breaking PC console
We're kissing babies. Whatever.
But to be able to provide those console gamers with an experience, again, that it's a reimagination of a 93 game, but they may not be familiar with it.
Sure.
And then they can play it on their PlayStation 3. And there's really nothing else like it. All the procedural elements, you get a different map every time. The aliens are in different places. You're not just controlling one hero saving the world against aliens, which a lot of action games have. We love them. You're now controlling an entire organization. And it feels at home on a console. It's not just a hardcore PC experience. So I'm thrilled about that.
It's self-serving, obviously to say this, but it's true. Like, our strongest memories as gamers are the ones where it's like you do something for the first time. You're like,
yes,
I've never had this experience before. Like, we've all played so many games. I mean, I'm 35 years old. I've played a lot of games. And so for me, the thing that always does it for me is when I'm doing something, I'm like, this is new. Like, this yeah. is, this is, feeds that itch that I thought was buried back there where you're like, man, this is new.
I didn't know I wanted
I think about it when I'm somewhere else. I'm thinking and about some game. Yeah.
Those experiences are few and far between.
They are,
also.
Yeah.
And it's, I love being on the PlayStation blog because when I grew up, that is the platform that gave me those experiences in my golden years of gaming.
Are you seriously going back to this?
Yeah, I am, man.
He's doing his presidential stump speech. He's playing to the crowd. He's on.
No, I am serious.
He gets
about
on Xbox. Look, he gets on the Xbox. I'll tell you on the Microsoft platform.
Kingsfield, you know, the original Tomb Raider, the original Blood Omen: Legacy of Kain. These are all PlayStation experiences that they gave me that feeling. So to be able to bring XCOM to that is very exciting.
Please don't make him do this to me again. I'm telling you, he's not lying. Like, the original PlayStation is like his wheelhouse.
So. Yep.
Do you think moving forward that, like, you know, we have that XCOM first person shooter is somewhere in the ether. Do you think this is that the XCOM name and brand, you know, assuming Enemy Unknown does well, is something that will continue?
Assuming you don't totally destroy the franchise. Yeah, exactly.
Assuming you're still alive.
I mean, XCOM something you would do another game moving forward?
Oh, I definitely. I mean, I think that we think that the way that I think about it, and I think Garth does too, is that it could be in its own way, like, it's almost like its own genre. I mean, you could tell so many different stories in so many different ways with having the sort of squad-based, having combat, and then having a deeper layer of the top of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually has a couple of, they're analogs to this, but they're never just quite as deep on both sides. Like, even, let's say, something like Diablo, I don't know, you go and you fight and then you come back to town, and this is just sort of like expanding on that quite a bit. And so I think a game like this, especially in the XCOM universe, you could tell a lot of stories.
And outside of the XCOM universe, a lot of stories could be told.
Yep, yep.
A lot of different things.
Or in the XCOM universe.
Or outside of it.
Or on the PlayStation Vita, you know.
It needs games, goddammit.
When you guys sat down though and you made the decision that it's gonna be on PC and then it's gonna be on the consoles as well, was there pushback about that? Because I know one of the questions I got, you know, I put out the call for Up at Noon questions for you coming on today, or I mean last Monday, whatever Monday, watch the show that's up on Start right now. And one of the things was people were asking about, you know, the control differences. Can you plug a mouse and keyboard into the PS3? Which I don't know, you have to answer that. And then also, you know, is there a drawback then? Is it clunkier somehow that you're trying to use a controller?
You can't plug a mouse and keyboard into the PS3, unfortunately, but I
wanted you to be able to. Garth said
no.
Garth D'Angelo said no.
Garth.
You just hate PlayStation, don't you?
He's actually never played any of those games.
Either that or Interception, man. You gotta pick one or the other.
And all those titles are written on his palm right now. Right.
Really, I really love Sonic, and that's why I bought a PlayStation.
Blandelbarts. No, no, you can't plug in the mouse and keyboard, but the controller experiences, like, the feedback has been very, very strong. Like, we worked very hard on that, and so people are able to pick up the DualShock and go crazy with it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it feels smooth. Right?
Yeah, no, I played it with the damn Xbox controller, but it felt fine. No, it was good. That's one of the reasons I was so excited for it, is that it was, you know, for me, PC gaming, the barrier to entry is the mouse and keyboard, right? Is that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because that's not how I grew up playing or whatever.
Sure.
So yeah, totally to be able to do that and move my little blue arrow around and see where I'm going to run to, I'm going to take cover on, how I'm going to shoot things.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Did we cover everything you want to talk about here? You get all your stump speeches out here?
Let me go back. No, I think I got everything.
Okay.
I think we got it all. We've got not long now, right, Garth?
No. What
our
are we?
Our journey
are
is about to be over.
A week and a half.
You're
away,
1 week
I guess.
When this posts. This will post on Tuesday. So
one week away. That's exciting.
Yep.
I mean, the team did an incredible job over. It was a long journey to develop this game, and we can't wait to get it in everyone's hands.
So then, you know, it's always interesting to see what's going on behind the curtain. What are you guys doing now as a team? Does everybody take time off, or you start working on a DLC,
Sleeping.
Which I would assume is coming?
We'll see. Yeah. We haven't, it was the sort of thing where I was like, okay, like, you know, the game goes to cert, you know, we send it off to Sony certification. It's like, all right, so
we're done,
like,
right?
Before press start, before, like, the real press kicks in, I'll take 4 weeks off, whatever.
Didn't happen.
It was like, nah, that didn't happen. There's always something to be working on, whether, you know, so then the idea is that, like, after launch day, then we'll,
you know, it's
vacation.
Not gonna happen, right? You know something is gonna happen.
I know.
We need you
something
in the office.
Going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to quit.
No, I mean, right now, everyone, we do have some people taking some vacations, but clearly we're thinking about other ideas. Nothing to announce at the moment. But, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. When you are ready to announce, you can come back to this podcast.
Yeah.
How about that?
That would be fun.
Tell me more about your PlayStation 1 lineage.
Yeah.
Garth and Jake, thank you so much for joining us. XCOM Enemy Unknown comes out October 9th. Before you go, you do have to say Beyond.
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 Beyond! All right, let's see what the hell Colin Moriarty's got to say. Excellent interview, Goldfarb. Good job. We're back. Huh? So there you go. You're sold now, Clemens, aren't you?
I am.
You didn't hear the...
I didn't hear anything.
I had no idea that a turn-based strategy game was coming to PS3. That's always, always exciting news.
It's Moriarty joint, as they
always
say.
Exciting. Too bad. Is it coming to PlayStation Vita?
No. And I asked them... Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're one of these people who don't understand how the podcast works, we stopped. We just were silent for 1 second, and then we inserted the interview, so they haven't heard it. Yeah. Now, he wouldn't answer that question. He says no plans for the Vita, really, but maybe one day, kind of blah, blah, blah. He danced around it.
I think one of the things is that I'm not super sold on the art style look, and maybe I just haven't seen the right stuff yet, but I feel kind of right like it looks stuff. Very generic, kind of just...
Oh, man, no, you're crazy.
Disagree or agree?
I disagree with you, yeah.
Disagree.
I think the more you see of it, you're going to see what their style is to it. When you go to your base and you have to make your choices, because you have to go, now we're boring people who listen to the interview. When you go into these places, you have to make your choice, right? You go into your little communication hub and they're like, there's a disaster right now in Tokyo and in Kansas City and you can only go to one. You can only save one city, of course, yeah. Of course you would. You have no love for America's breadbasket.
I have a lot of love
You wouldn't
for
save Kansas either.
Damon's family. Well, there's a Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh,
it was in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, right. There's a Kansas City, Kansas, though, right?
It is. It's really confusing. What a bunch
they're
of idiots.
They're like on opposite sides of the border, right?
Right.
That's
Kansas
weird.
City, Missouri is the good one. Kansas City is garbage.
That's
just like
I didn't know
Kansas.
Until I was like a teenager that like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals play in Missouri.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I never knew that.
It's because, it's silly. Some silly stuff.
But I guess people from Kansas are fans of those teams.
Yeah, some of them. They're not fans of running water or indoor plumbing, though, in Kansas. I'll tell you that right now.
Interesting.
Christian writes into beyond@ign.com. He says, "Hey, guys, my name is Christian. Beyond.
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 I live in northern New Jersey, and I went to McDonald's for lunch today. I can confirm that Colin was absolutely right about them not putting mustard on burgers in the metro New York area. Also, I'm not a big fan of mustard myself, but I do love myself some honey mustard. Does Colin make an exception for the sweeter version of the condiment?
Nope.
No,
also, does he always think of Colonel Mustard is the murderer when he plays Clue?
I can't play Clue because of Colonel Mustard. We got a lot of emails, a lot of tweets about this.
Yeah,
I know it's confirmed. I mean, I know. I'm glad that people.
Well, it's one of those things
verified.
You talk out of your ass every week on the show. Somebody finally showed up to back you up.
Yeah, you're right. And I am glad that my disdain for mustard is so extreme. That I learned that some people share a similar disdain for mustard, and that really made me happy. Although when I put the picture on Twitter of me eating pizza with mayonnaise, I learned that many a person share a similar disdain for Hellman's fine product as well.
Because there's a difference between mayonnaise and mayo, right? Like, they're different things.
So. Well, no. So there's a difference between Miracle Whip, which is fucking
Thank
trash.
You. That's it.
Yeah,
Miracle Whip is garbage.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never forget. I've only had Miracle Whip once, and I was like a young kid at my best childhood friend's house.
It's like sweet or something. It's like tangy.
It's like dressing, basically. Okay. Like it, and they had Miracle Whip, and I was just making a sandwich, and I ate it, and I was like, this is fucking gross. I didn't say five. I was like probably 8 years old. But I remember still to this day, just like I remember like it was yesterday, that mustard thing in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Man, that was some rough shit.
I love how Colin has these terrible memories of food incidents. And these
condiments, just condiments.
Because Miracle Whip like makes me cringe. Like when I see because they have this whole ad campaign where it's like it's better than mayonnaise. It's we know it's different. You know, it sucks. let's just all be honest with each other, okay? Thank you.
Joe Dix writes into IGN's podcast beyond@ign.com, just like you can. He said, I'm not feeling the show this week. I'm not doing so hot. Greg, I'm playing Patapon 2 right now, and the idea of a new entry on the Vita excites me. What would you want in Patapon Vita? I mean, I would basically think Patapon 3 would be a super easy conversion. Patapon 3 featured clans. It featured online play. You took you had one hero to control, which I really dug, and you took that out, and you played with other people, and you leveled up, and you took your experience, and you went back to your game. You could help out in the Collins game, stuff like that. I want that entire infrastructure brought over to the Vita. Some cool 3G stuff. Maybe for Nier, if I could leave items places, that'd be cool. Nier still sucks and doesn't do anything.
I still don't understand how to use Nier. Does anyone understand how to use Nier?
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I thought that I was like missing out because I just didn't understand
They sent
Nier.
You this game gear, game piece. I'm like, what?
I have no idea how to use it.
Game goods.
I don't. I know, you know, Shuhei tweets about Nier every so often. It doesn't make any sense, Shuhei. Yeah, it's not. You know, when we see you next time at E3, you're going to have to really give me a walkthrough because I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, it's one of those things like how people might not be playing 3DS games anymore, but in our office, they still use 3DS Street Pass. And people will come here for demos and bring their 3DS to Street Pass with us because they know that IGN every day puts a whole bunch of DSs on this one thing over by Guides that everybody shares the thing.
And then me and Greg just put our Vitas away.
I don't want to. This morning, I thought I lost my Vita on the plane for there was like a good 5-minute thing where I'm like, I know I grabbed it. Did I leave
it
in
the seat? You just got off a plane this morning?
Well, last night I got off the plane.
Oh, okay, got it.
So I was looking around like, I don't know what to do. Colin, this is still Joe Dix. I listened to an old episode last night and you mentioned that if you had more time, you would work on a novel that you had an idea for about the end of the United States. Has anything happened with this idea?
Strangely, yeah, because I don't think you even know about this. I started to kind of marinate on the specific idea and started to kind of work out the idea itself. The thing is, and it's really, I think it's a great idea. I think I actually told Mike Mitchell about it. And I think it's like a really...
He forgot immediately, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The end of the United States.
And I think it's specific and something that's like bold and actually pretty controversial, but I don't have time to write it, you know, other than really writing notes about it. I mean, it's just no time, but it's an idea that I'll sit on and I think it will be pretty cool.
I would like to make a controversial point. You totally have time. You can make time. If you have time to spend 99% of your time alone at home and, you know, watch space documentaries and eat pizza with mayo.
I was reading a Wikipedia about supermassive black holes yesterday. Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
I bet you that you could eke out maybe 45 minutes to an hour every night and just get a little tiny bit of writing done, just a little piece by piece.
That's how professional writers do it. I mean, when you read about, you know, Stephen King, for instance, like, no matter what he's doing every day, he writes for like 8 hours. And even if it's good or bad, they just write because the ideas come from that and you actually surprise yourself. But, you know, obviously they're professionals. And I'm a professional writer in a sense, but I am a professional writer, but I'm not a professional novelist. And I think that like writing a novel is really difficult. I have like 2 aborted novels to my name, like on my old computer. It's like, it's hard writing dialogue's hard, you know, figuring out these ideas is hard. Figuring out where you're going is hard. Like how you get to that point. And like, those are difficult things. Writing is not easy. It's
very, very, very hard.
It is. I mean, you're right, but like, I have to pick my battles, and like, I want to continue to play games. I want to continue to read. I read a lot and stuff like that. I want to continue to do those things.
Sure,
there's gotta be that. You know, it's gotta be that balance of fun, right? I mean, and not that writing isn't fun, but it's definitely challenging.
You know? It's, and I didn't mean to imply that you're making the wrong decision. I'm just saying, if it was important to you, you could totally make time to do it.
It is important to me, but it's something that I've thought about. I mean, I've tried in the past to like write these ideas down, and they're all
But we change a lot over time. You might have more skill and strength and patience now than you did when you tried before. So
well, I'm going on vacation, so maybe I will take some time to do it when I'm not
here. Be bummed the whole time.
Yeah, you got too much. You already have too much on that. It's a vacation plan. You'll never get it all.
What do you mean?
You're reviewing the game too, the Little King story.
Well, it's that, or we put the review up 3 weeks after the game comes out.
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't fucking do your work.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
You got to do that. You got to see your family. You got to see your friends. You got to eat these burgers no mustard. You got a lot on your plate. You ain't writing no books.
Yeah, probably not.
Ryan.
Yes.
Joe Dix, final question.
Yes.
What is something you've never done but have wanted to in the back of your mind for a long time?
Make out with Greg Miller.
That's not true.
We've done that before. what's something I've always wanted to do?
Go to New York Comic Con.
Game! Yeah. Saturday the 13th, 9 p.m.
I've kind of done this before, but I would love, I would really love to get more into live music. I would love to go to like a jazz like club or a bar or something that has like live jazz or live blues or something, and just kind of like have a drink, listen to music. I really like stuff like that. Not like,
you should come see Dredge with me in December.
Is that going to be, I mean, that's more of a concert venue, right?
It's a show. I mean, it'll be like 1,000 people probably.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not against it. I mean, I actually really like the idea of live music, but I've had a lot of really good times. Like, there's the bar that we like in San Francisco called
Underdogs.
Rick House. But I was going to say Rick House. There was one night where we were there for cocktails, and there was like kind of a bluegrass style, like just a very small like 3-piece band that was there just playing some like kind of folksy songs, and it was super cool. Really chill.
Yeah, live music's good. But let me ask you an honest question about Rick House.
Yeah.
Who likes that bar other than Ryan Clements? Damon likes it.
Yeah, Damon
because
likes
when
lot.
I when I went there, I Alex went there with you. I went there with you the first time I was ever there. It was Shuhei.
Yeah, Shuhei night.
Shuhei.
And
it was a bit of a shit show over in that bar, if I recall. Like, it was a little hard to get a drink. We were drunk.
It was crowded.
We were drunk before we left dinner.
It was crowded.
See, this is my thing. I fell out of love with Rick House. I've been to Rick House dozens of times, and I like the Floridoras there. I like the slow gin fizz now.
Yep.
I like it when, like, Dame and I used to go there once in a while, like after we see a movie or something. But so it'd be like an off night, with like a Wednesday, right? You could walk up, you could get a table, you could get a drink, it'd be no problem. And then we started going there for like people's goodbye parties and birthday parties and all this other shit. And you get there and it's like a Saturday night and it's wall to wall people. It's a billion fucking degrees in there. Like there was nights where it was so bad I'd take off my glasses because my glasses were fogging up. It's like, I'm over this place, like so over this place.
Yeah, I can't get down with, like, I like bars that are populated, but yeah, not
there's
not
a
crowded.
There's a tipping point with bars. Yeah,
there's a fine line because I get really kind of not depressed, but I'm really disappointed when you go into a bar and there's no one in there. It's like maybe like, you know, two people kind of around the other corner of the bar, and it's like maybe you and a friend, and it's like. Then at that point, it's not even a social experience anymore. It's just, you know, you guys.
Yeah, but people will come. That's what I like. That's why, like, I always get excited with, like, when we go to Underdogs and you can get a picnic table without fighting. Sure. Like, that's like, you know.
But we know that
Golden Goose.
Underdogs will pop off, all, you know, eventually in good time. But if you're going to
all in good time.
Yeah, all in good time. But if you go to a new place and you're like, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I'm in for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Underdogs is still my favorite. One of my friend Ramon was here. He likes to hang out down at the Hate, or is what I like to lovingly call the shit show. Of San Francisco.
That was the marina.
No, the marina is just a disaster. I haven't been to the marina in a long time. That was where we used to get drunk. But, you know, I like the Hate a lot. And I was reminded that, you know, I really love Hobson's Choice. Like, I really love that bar. That bar is awesome.
Isn't that a place that Sin really likes, too?
Yeah, Sin. I was introduced to it through Sin and Clayman a long time ago. We used to go there all the time. It's at the corner of Hate and Clayton. That's a fine bar, and I like that. Then I went to the Page, and I was lucky enough to get a table there, but that bar is so trendy and crowded all the time, and that really bothered me. But then I went to Mirio's. Remember Mirio's down by, like, Shady McDonald's? At the corner of, like,
Shady McDonald's?
Yeah, down at the corner of,
I know,
like,
Shady McDonald's.
Yeah, it's right next to, like, Shady McDonald's, like, at the corner of Standing and Hate or whatever, and they redid it, and it used to be, like, an awesome dive, like, kind of like Molotov's or something, like a fucking just a straight dive bar. Molotov's, of course, is also on Hate. Mm-hmm. And they just, like...
What's the one with the half door? Remember, like, I always, like,
oh, that's Tornado's. Mm. That place, so that's across the street from Molotov. That's...
I love that you know all these. What's the bar with the half door? Oh, Tornado's.
That's Tornado's. That's at Fillmore and Hate. That's a great bar, but that's a snobby beer bar. Like, yeah, I know. They are not cool there. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know people really like that bar, and I've been there many times, but, like, getting served there is a pain in the ass. Like, they aren't very nice. See, that's why I don't like bars that aren't, like, that people aren't nice.
They don't appreciate you. They don't appreciate your business. Fuck them.
I've never understood that. Like, you people are giving you money and you're like, oh, we don't serve that here. Like, what are you talking?
Okay. And that's kind of the problem I started having with Underdogs, is because I spent a lot of money there. I spent a lot more time and money there than, frankly, anyone in our apartment has, because I've lived in that neighborhood for so
even
long.
Mike now?
Like, Mike might push it over.
Well, when Mike Mitchell told us he'd watch more football than any of us in our entire lives, I was like, I think Colin has an argument there. But, like, Mike literally comes home, drops his bag, and then goes to Underdogs.
That's a good point.
Comes back at 3 in the morning.
That's a good point. But I used to go there constantly, like, almost every day for dinner, and I would leave with it.
Yeah.
But when we went there, you and I were there. I think it was with, like, I think Clements was there. We were Justin, a few other guys, Charles, and that one waitress came up and
the
was
new waitress?
Like, no, she's not new. She's been there for a long time. Definitely knows all of us. Definitely has waited on all of us scores of times. And was like, you know, you guys aren't gonna, like, walk away. Like, serious. Like,
I don't remember this.
Yeah. Oh, maybe you weren't there. Like, she's like,
the tables are so big.
She took one of our credit cards or whatever, where she was like, you guys aren't gonna, like, run away and not pay the bill. She was, like, dead serious. And that's why I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've spent thousands of dollars in this bar, and you know exactly who I am. And I would just ruin that rapport with you guys because I wanted a free meal. Well, something like that. That really rubbed me the wrong way. Where I'm like, I don't really want to. I haven't been there in a while.
That's just one person in their crew, which is otherwise I love. The people
I've been there a bunch lately. It's been fun.
My people are also gone. Derek and Duke were my boys, and I always say, like, I set the great cadence with them the very first time I went there, because they gave me too much change back, and I gave it back to them, and they always remembered that, and then they left.
Yep.
So now I don't have that report.
No one remembers your change. No.
So PlayStation podcast, guys, huh?
Let's wrap it up, actually.
we're
going to do a hit of the week. We haven't done one of those in a while. Cool. This comes from Grant. Grant emailed us at beyond@ign.com, just like you can. He says, Beyond. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption for a while now. Huh. No shit, apparently.
I would say you've been playing it for 2.5 years.
and I have almost all the trophies, but I'm stuck on a few of the multiplayer trophies. I was wondering if I could be hit of the week and get some help from my fellow Beyond listeners. Grant, I'm sure someone out there will be willing to help you. Everybody, if you want to play some Red Dead, go ahead and friend or message Grant. His PSN ID is GMATT, M-A-T-T, 325. That is GMATT 325. Thanks, and Beyond, says Grant. And then he says, P.S., I think Ryan is the best at doing the, quote, hit of the week confirmed, end quote, on the new mics. So, Ryan, please.
P.S. and it confirmed.
There you go. I missed the old time.
It just doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well,
it's not you. No, you don't have to apologize. It's not
your fault. It's not your fault.
Happens to guys all the time.
Clements, it's not your fault. I love that kind of shit in movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Say it over and over again.
This has been Podcast Beyond episode 260. Remember to be part of the show, beyond at IGN.com. Remember that the podcast is fun and games, but the bills get paid over on IGN.com, so come there and read all the stuff, column posts. And then once in a while, Clements and I do stuff too, but it's usually just some videos or bullshit stuff. remember,
thanks, Greg.
I'm talking about us both. We're in the same boat. Remember to follow us all on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Ryan is Plum Cider. Colin is No Taxation. Goldfarb, who wasn't here, or he was here for the interview, is Garfep. Remember to buy XCOM Enemy Unknown, because I think that game's going to be great. Again, I'm not reviewing it.
I have no idea what the hell is going on.
Is that next week?
Yeah, October 9th. Yeah, this is the best part of me not being able to go to Comic-Con, is that I get to play it. Maybe I'll be done with it. You can play my copy.
Yeah.
Or the office copy or whatever you end up doing.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
You should be, dude. You're gonna. It is a Colin game, as it has been said before.
Every once in a while, that's said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Take me home.
Sounds good, Greg. We always end Podcast Beyond with a song. So please send me an MP3 of a song that you would like played on the show to beyond@IGN.com.
What if it's a WAV file?
I don't. Can GarageBand play WAV files?
I don't know.
I forgot.
What if I send you a cassette tape in the mail?
Please do that.
625 Second Street.
No, don't send
San that. San Francisco.
Don't send us cassette tapes.
94107.
But just like Mark did, by the way, preferable if you send your own music and not just, I heard this song and it's cool.
Yeah, don't do that.
I like to hear your guys' music. So, just like Mark did, who writes Beyond, thanks for the many hours of conversational entertainment you provide me, enabling much-needed distraction from the drudgery as I toil away in the code mines day after day. Not coal, but code. Mm. Get it? Because he's a programmer.
Ah.
Or an engineer. Anyway, I hear the request for music each week, and I thought to myself, why not? My music is a little unusual and not quite as polished as some of the stuff I've heard on the show. The band is called Rude Emoticon Machine, and the attached song is Fresh Zombie Treats.
That's a good title.
I hope you can find some enjoyment in it. Thank you very much, Mark. It is experimental, but I did enjoy it. So let us now listen to Fresh Zombie Treats.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Clements, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.